Amen. Thank you for standing. Let's turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And as you're turning, I would like to say thank you for having us. And thank you to my dad for allowing us to stand here and preach today. And I don't count it lightly, especially on Easter Sunday. I know the church is filled. It's good to see this good number in the house of the Lord. Amen. And it's good to see you here. You know what I like about Island Ford, too, is you can sit on the very back row, and you're still only about six rows back. So you got, I mean, as a preacher, I like to see that. I went to one church. There was about probably 10 rows of pews, and there's about four or five different rows, and there was about 40 people scattered around. And so I preached to 40 people, and it felt like I was preaching about five, you know, because you look over here, and there's about five and here. And so I'm glad to have all of you right here. You can hear me, and I'll try not to spit on you. I don't really do that much. But I'll try not to get down there and spit on you too much. But that's what I like about this church. You can't get away from the preaching. It's right here. But I will say this. My dad said, I do thank my dad for having me stand, because I know as a pastor, when your church is full, you want to be the one up there preaching. But he let me do it. So I'm thankful for that. And so I am the youngest. I will say that. Josh mentioned about Hannah being the oldest. So your pastor is senior Pastor Shepherd, and then this morning you heard middle-aged Joshua Shepherd. Now I'm young. I'm the young Brother Shepherd, all right? So, and anyway, I just had a birthday, and I'm 33 years old, and I had a friend that's a preacher that he's single. He's never been married, and he's 35, but when he turned 33, I told him, I said, well, it's a good year for you, 33. I said, it might be the year you finally find the one for you. I said, because Jesus laid his life down at 33. So you might get married and lay your life down at 33. But anyway, I'm just kidding. But I do just get some nerves off of my chest there. But 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And, I'll be honest with you. My brother said in Sunday school this morning, sometimes Easter Sunday, you feel like a topical message. You feel like you're kind of put in a box. Everybody expects to hear a certain message. But I will say I am preaching on the resurrection, because there's no greater message. I don't believe there's any greater message than the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen. We should all, I mean, every Sunday, as my dad said, we're all worshiping because he lives. That's the reason why we have a purpose, the reason why we have life. Amen. And so, the 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and I will be turning a couple other scriptures, but please hold your text there, and I'll be coming back at the end of the message to 1 Corinthians 15 will be our text. Look in verse number 13 with us, and I will give you just a little background. Paul is talking to the church at Corinth, and they were saying that there is no resurrection of the dead, and they were saying that once you die, you're just dead. There's no more resurrection. But Paul said, and Paul was one of the 500 or more people that saw Jesus after his resurrection, after his resurrection. And so Paul knew firsthand, he had saw Jesus with the wounds in his hand. He had saw him knowing he is alive. And now he's telling this church, look at verse 13. He said, but if there be no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. He said, if you believe that we have no hope of resurrection in the future, then you have to believe that Christ was not resurrected. Look at verse 14. And if Christ be not risen, then our preaching is vain, and your faith is vain. Yea, if we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he hath raised up Christ, whom he hath not raised up, if so be that the dead rise not. But look at verse 14, for if the dead rise not, then is Christ not raised. And if Christ be not raised, our faith is vain, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ Jesus perish. Now, I believe he sums it all up in verse 19. This is my text verse in verse 20. And verse 19 says, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. And then verse number 20, I like the first word. It's a conjunction. It means things are about to change. He's talking about if Christ is not risen. If he's really not risen, if Christ is still in the grave, then we have no hope. If we have no hope beyond this life, then what is life if we just live and die in this life? But in verse 20, he says, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. So as Paul said there that morning, I'll say this morning, that on Easter Sunday, not just if you was there and saw Jesus resurrected. But even today, as we say, because he lived, or he Christ arose and he lives within my heart, we can say that even now, as verse 20 says, but now, right now, Christ is risen from the dead. Amen. And let's pray and go, Lord, in word of prayer. Our Father, I pray that you would touch us now as we try to preach. Lord, I pray you would help us, Lord. Speak through me. Lord, you know, Lord, I desperately need your help, Lord, in this service today. Lord, and there may be here folks under my voice that may be not sure. Maybe they're not a believer. Maybe they don't truly believe that you raised from the dead. Lord, I pray you would help us, Lord, that through your power, through the word of God, that we would show that Lord, that you truly are risen. And Lord, I pray for us Christians that we would really grasp it this morning to realize how wonderful and how much hope we can have knowing that you did rise from the grave. And Lord, how miserable our life would be and how hopeless this life would be if not for the resurrection of your Son. Lord, I pray you touch us now and bless. Lord, I pray if there's one lost here today, Lord, that they would be saved today. This would be the day, Lord, prick their heart and convict them as they're a sinner and draw them unto yourself. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. And I've got just 3 points. I know I'll try to be brief this morning. I was thinking about it. My watch says 11:50, but where I'm from, it's already 12:50. Yeah. So, I mean, I'm already, in North Carolina, our time, we're already behind schedule. So everybody expects to get out at 12, but I know, no pun intended, I know Island Ford don't expect to get out at 12, right? And that's good. We're coming to worship the Lord. So I'll try to preach until I'm done, all right? But I'll try to be done when the Lord says it's over, all right? And so, but I got 3 points this morning. And my thought is from verse 19, let's read verse 19 again. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. If Jesus did not die as the scripture said and buried for 3 days and rise again as the scripture said, then our hope is in vain. But we know that Jesus Christ did conquer death, hell, and the grave. Look at verse 25 or verse 26 in our text. The Bible says the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. And then it tells us at the last of this chapter in verse number 55, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of the sin is the law. But thanks be unto God that giveth us the victory through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so we have hope this morning. We have victory. And I want to give us 3 reasons that I believe why Jesus came. I was looking through the scripture. 3 reasons why Jesus came to earth. And I believe, I'll give you the 3 points and I'll try to make the application. But 3 reasons why he came. Number one, I believe he came to give us hope. Amen. He came to give us hope because in verse 19 it said we would be of all men most miserable if in this life only we had hope. Now, Solomon was the wisest man in the Bible. Solomon was one of the wealthiest men in the Bible. But if you read the book of Ecclesiastes, Solomon over and over, he talked about vanity. Life is full of vanities. And his theme is vanity. Just vanity is emptiness. It's just emptiness, just void. And I'll tell you, if this life, you could live to 100 years old, you could be a millionaire, you could, and I know $1 million ain't as much as it used to be, but you could be a billionaire nowadays, and still, you could waste all your money, you could spend all your money, buy whatever you wanted to buy, live as long as you could live, and have a healthy life, and this world would say you'd be a success. But if you die and don't know Jesus as your Savior, and if you died and there was nothing beyond the grave, if there was no hope of eternal life, then we would be of all men most miserable. Amen. And so Jesus came to give us hope. And that's found in our text. Look at verse 20. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam we all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Amen. So we know Jesus Christ was called the second Adam. Right. Adam was the one who plunged us into sin, but Jesus is the one who gives us hope of resurrection. Amen. Amen. So our text here, it talks about that. But also, I want us to look at some people that met Jesus after the resurrection. And here's where I draw my points from. Look at John. Turn with me to John chapter 20. John chapter 20. And I want us to look at some people that witnessed this resurrected Christ. Not just heard about, not just read about, but they were there and they saw the resurrected Christ. And the first one we find is Mary Magdalene here in John chapter 20. And we'll pick up reading. Let's see. We're going to find my place here. Verse number 11. We'll pick up reading in verse number 11. Now, we'll say in verse number 1, the Bible tells us Mary comes to the tomb, and it was yet early, and she saw the stone was rolled away, as we sang about, and she saw the tomb was empty. But look at verse 11. This was even after she saw the tomb was empty. She was weeping. Look at verse 11. But Mary stood without at the sepulcher weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulcher, and seeth two angels of white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She said unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. Verse 14, And when she had said thus, she turned herself back, and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. And Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be a gardener, saith unto them, Sir, if thou have borne him thence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. But verse 16, Jesus calls her by name. He said, Mary. And she turned herself, and she said unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Amen. So I'm going to quit reading right there. We see Mary in verse 11. She's weeping outside the tomb. And the angels first said to Mary, Why are you weeping? Why are you so sad? And Mary, we know, was a follower of Jesus. She was around him a lot in his earthly ministry. She loved Jesus. And she was coming to one of the first ones that's recorded. We don't know all the details, but we do know in the recorded, she is, I believe, the first one that came to the tomb. And she saw that Jesus was not there. She thought they had laid him somewhere else. They had stolen away his body. But the angel said, Why are you sad? And then Jesus, when he stood there looking at her, he said, Why weepest thou? Right. And so my thought was this, Mary, and I want to read it the way I wrote it down so I don't mess it up. What Mary saw as a sorrowful day there, as they thought that Jesus had been taken away, she saw it as a sorrowful day at first. Yep. She saw it as a gloomy day, a sad day. Yep. And she was distraught, but notice, all hope seemed gone at this moment. All fear in her filled her heart. But that day was actually the greatest day in history. Amen. The day that we are celebrating today was because of that day, that resurrection morning. And that day was a day of life. It was a day of rejoicing. It was a day of hope. It was a day that prophecy was fulfilled. It was a day that now, as the prophets had told about how Jesus would die on a cross for our sins, He was our substitution. And there He suffered and bled and died for us. And then now on the third day He has arose again. Amen? Amen. And so that was a glorious day. She saw a sad day. It was a day of hope, a day of joy. Amen? So my first point is this, is Jesus came to bring us hope. Amen. Now let me say this, you'll never know hope in this life if you don't know Jesus. Amen. You'll never know hope if you never have an encounter as Mary did with Jesus. And she saw him face to face, and she realized who he was, and she found hope in Jesus Christ. Amen. So you'll never truly be satisfied. You'll never have joy in this life without Jesus. Amen. Amen. And so number one, he came to bring us hope. Number two, he came not only to bring us hope, but I believe he came to bring us sight. He came, the Bible says, to open the blinded eyes. I've got a scripture right here. You don't have to turn there. But Luke 4, it says, The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. That's what he did to Mary. He healed her heart. And then he preached to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering sight to the blind. Now, let me say this, that we all were blinded in our sins. Every one of us, as I heard Joshua say when I was out there trying to rock the baby to sleep, I heard him say that that Jesus doesn't accept any of us as we are. We have to come to Him. We do have to come to Him as we are and accept Him for Lord and Savior in our life. But I'll say this, He expects us to come repentant toward Him. Amen. And come in humble faith and repentance as a little child. And we have to say, Lord, I know You are who You say You are. And we have to realize we're a sinner. Amen. Every one of us. I don't want to run a rabbit, but I'll say this. I was talking to a guy. He said, how can you believe in eternal security? And how can you believe that the man who has went to church all his life and has lived a good, clean life, as we would say, and maybe was even a part of a church and maybe a deacon in the church, how can you say that he gets to go to the same heaven that someone who had lived a wicked life and had maybe been a murderer, maybe had been in jail for killing an innocent person, how can you say that God could save them and both of them go to the same heaven? He said, how is that fair? Now, I'll say this, it's not fair. It's not fair that I get to go to heaven. Amen. It's not fair that you get to go to heaven. It's not fair that any of us get to go to heaven. Amen. It's only through and by Jesus Christ and His perfect life that He lived. Amen. And so I said this to him. I said, all of us have sinned. And he said, I don't think my grandparents ever sinned. He said, they was good people. And I said, I said, my grandparents are good people. But I said, they were sinners. Amen. And all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And and I'll say this, your sin, God help us, I don't want to get on another message, but anyway, your sin is just as sin as somebody else's sin, amen? And God can cleanse all sin, amen? Every sinner has to come before God as a sinner to be saved, amen? That's not in my notes. Number two, let's see, number two, He came to bring sight to the blind. Turn with me to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. Again, we're looking at people who have seen Jesus after His resurrection. And you may know where I'm going with this. Look at verse number 13. And I really don't want to read all this. It's a lengthy reading. I'm just going to pick out a few verses. But in Luke 24 and verse 13, the Bible says, behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass as they communed together, while they communed together and reasoned, that Jesus Himself drew near and went to them. But notice verse 16. But their eyes were holden that they should not know Him. So their eyes had scales on it, like Paul, Saul of Tarsus, when he was on the road to Tarsus. Saul, you know what I'm talking about. He had scales over his eyes. Saul did. And the Lord opened his blinded eyes. And I'll say this. The lost people, a lot of times as Christians, we get angry, upset at the sinners that don't see God as we see Him. But you know what? They're blinded. Their eyes have been blinded. The God of this world has blinded their eyes to the truth. And here these men were walking, or two, we don't know, it may have been a husband and wife. I believe it very well could have been. But they were walking and talking about the things that went on, and their eyes were holding that they should not know Him. But verse 17, when He said unto them, what manner of communications are these that you have one to another as you walk and are sad? So they're talking about how Jesus had been crucified. And then if you skip on, let's look at verse number, I believe it's verse 30. One, we see that their eyes were open. Now, Jesus had just basically preached to them about His whole life and His ministry. And then verse 31, their eyes were open and they knew Him, and He vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, did not our hearts burn within us while He talked with us by the way, and He opened to us the Scriptures? So Jesus came to save sinners. We know that He came to seek and to save that which was lost. But He came, number one, to bring us hope. Number two, to bring us sight. He came that the blinded eyes may be open. And I'll say this, these men or women did not know Jesus until He revealed Himself to them. And let me say this, if you're a sinner here today, God has to illuminate your mind. He has to illuminate your heart. And they said that our hearts burned within us. And I believe that could be used as the convicting power of God. And your heart has to burn within you. You have to realize that your eyes are open now, and Jesus is who He says He was. Amen? And He's alive. Jesus is alive. So I'll say this, number one, you cannot find hope until you meet Jesus. Right. But number two, you'll never be able to truly see things until you meet Jesus. Right. But that's my favorite point is number three. Let's turn back to John. John chapter 10. I know it's a lot of turning. John chapter 10. Let's turn there. John chapter 10. And this is talking about how Jesus came. And if you think about 1 Corinthians where we started, He said, we in this life only, if we have hope in this life only, we're of all men most miserable. But the fact of the matter is, and I forgot where I was going earlier, Solomon said, all things under the sun is vanity. Right. Everything in this life, he said, you're born and then you live and you work hard, you make all this money and then you die and you go in the grave, it's all vanity. Yep. And it happens over and over and over. It's just a repetition of just vain living is what he said. Right. But that was because he was looking under the sun. Right. If you notice, he was always saying all these things that happen under the sun. Yep. But I'm glad that our Father who we serve is above the sun. Amen. Yeah. He created the sun. He created us. He created life. Right. And so therefore, if you can ever get your eyes out of this world and open your eyes as Jesus, you have to, the Word of God will open your eyes. Right. Amen. And I'll say this, if you're lost here today, if you're a young person, you're lost. I've told my children, I probably hadn't told them enough, but you need to pray that the Lord will deal with your heart.
That's right.
Amen. But it's not just young people. There may be older people here today that you've never truly trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior. You've never truly had that salvation experience. And I don't even like saying experience because it's a personal matter between you and God. And it's laid out in the Bible that if thou shalt confess your sin, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Amen. And so ask the Lord and pray to the Lord. Ask him if he will illuminate your eyes so that you can see, amen, to be saved. I don't think God will hold it from you. Amen. The Bible says that the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but he's long suffering to all of us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Amen. So the last point is number three. He came to give us life. Amen. He came to bring us hope. Yes, he came to turn our sadness into joy. He came to bring us sight, to turn our blinded eyes into beholding eyes. That's the way I wrote it down. But also he came to bring death to life. Amen. He came and because he died and because he lived a sinless life and because he stayed in that tomb for 3 days and he resurrected, then we now have hope that we will also have resurrection from the dead one of these days. Amen. And so he came to bring us life. I told you, turn to John 10. Look at verse number 9. John 10, verse number 9. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that ye might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. He gave his own life. Amen. We've got the young shepherd, the older shepherd, the middle-aged shepherd, but this is the good shepherd. Amen. This is the good shepherd, the great shepherd. And he said, I give my life for the sheep. And Jesus said, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Amen. So he came and he lived and he died to bring us life. And I'll say, as I said before, you'll never have life until you meet Jesus.
Right.
You'll never, you can say, well, I'm living it up. You young people may say, I'm going to go out here and live it up. But if you don't have Jesus, you'll not truly have life.
Right.
Amen. You'll not have eternal life. And by the way, eternal life is when you come and bow at an altar and you get saved. That is when eternal life begins.
Right.
Amen. It's not the day they write it on a tombstone that they entered into eternal rest. But no, it's eternal life from the moment you accept Christ as your Savior.
Right.
Amen. Amen. So you're never truly living life until you meet Jesus. Now that we know he is alive, and as I said, these people saw him face to face, But we have the Word of God. And one of these days, our faith will be sight. But we have to trust by faith. Right. Amen. That He is, Jesus did what He said and that He is alive. Yes. Amen. Like I've heard the song says, I don't have to see the tomb to know that He's alive. Right. Amen. I don't have to see it because in my heart, I already know that He lives in my heart. Yes. Amen. So let me say this. If we know He's alive, and y'all do believe He's alive this morning, right? Amen. He is alive. And if He is alive, just like He made Mary Magdalene filled with joy, even though she was sad, when she came to the tomb, she was sad. When she left, she was rejoicing that the tomb was empty. And she said, I gotta go tell others that the tomb is empty.
Right.
And so if we have that joy in our heart, we gotta go tell others that He is alive. Amen.
Yeah.
But not only that, I'll ask you this. What are you trusting God for today?
Yeah.
This is where I wanted to get to. I don't know. I think a lot of us have no problem believing that God created the earth. We have no problem believing that. We have no problem believing that He sent the flood and destroyed mankind and saved Noah and his family. We have no problem believing that. We have no problem believing that He saved Daniel out of the lion's den and all these stories that we've heard from Sunday school. But a lot of times, if we're not careful, we believe all that. And we'll believe that He died on the cross, that He was buried for 3 days, and that He rose again. And we'll shout and rejoice, yes, He did. Yes, He's alive. But then we don't believe that He can touch in our lives today. That He can work in our lives. That He can save our lost loved one. Or that He can bring that wayward child back home. I mean, whatever your burden, what are you trusting God for today?
Amen.
What are you praying for this morning?
Amen.
And I'll say this, I've got children that I'm burdened for this morning that are lost.
Yes.
That they, and I know that some of them are, they're young. And I'll say this, there is not an age of accountability. Amen. There is a time of accountability.
Right.
And I don't know that. And I don't think nobody knows what that's different for every child.
Yes.
I believe this. I believe there's people, you can live 40 years old and never heard about Jesus. And you may not be of the age of accountability. But I don't know that, but I'm just saying this. I believe every man, the Bible says that the light will come to every man. I believe every man will have an opportunity to be saved. But my point is this, I'm praying that God will save my children.
Yes.
And I'm trusting and believing that He will.
Yes.
Man, because He's the same God that the prophecy was fulfilled by, where He resurrected from the dead. And all these things, if I believe He can do that, why do I have a hard time believing that He's going to help me in my time of need? Amen. Maybe you've got a wayward child or a lost loved one, or maybe you're dealing with some kind of health crisis in your life. I don't know what it is, but I'll say this. If He is big enough, if He is big enough to conquer death and big enough to conquer the grave, and as He said there, and let's turn back to 1 Corinthians. I'm going to end here, 1 Corinthians 15. But as He said there, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Why is it that we believe He can get victory from the grave, but He can't get victory in our life? I mean, why is it that we can trust Him for those things that we read about in Scripture, but yet we have a hard time trusting Him with our everyday lives? Amen? So I'll say this. What are you asking God for? I hope you're asking Him for something. Amen. I mean, I'll just say this. If I believe that Santa Claus was going to bring, you know, if I was real young and I believe, and I don't want to step on anybody's toes here, but if I believe that was real, I wouldn't have any problem at Christmas time. I mean, if I believed it was real, I'd ask for a new car. I'd ask for a new house. You know, I mean, if He can fit a TV through a chimney, He can do that. But anyway, I'm just saying this morning, if I believed He was real, if I truly believed, I wouldn't have a problem asking Him for big things. Amen. And we know that our God is real and He's alive. Why is it that why is it that we don't have any prayer life? Our prayer life is empty. Why is it that, and I'm preaching to myself, why is it we're not asking bigger things of God? Amen. Why is it that we're just satisfied with just going through the motions of you know, and it's not real in our heart? Why is it that we're feeling empty inside, but yet we're not willing to ask God for some big things in our life? Amen. And now I'm not preaching health and prosperity and all that stuff. I'll say this. I know God doesn't answer every prayer the way we ask Him for it. Amen. But I do believe He's able. Amen. He is able for whatever our need is this morning. Amen. And so, I'll just end it with this. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse number 19. It says, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. And I believe that if you find me somebody that don't believe in God, they may be living it up, quote unquote. But when that time comes, when they're laying on a deathbed and when they realize that they have no hope beyond this, I'm telling you, that's the most miserable person you ever see. Amen. And so, but notice verse 20, but now in 2026 is Christ risen. I mean, I believe you could put that in there, but now, right now, is Christ risen from the dead. Amen. And become the first fruits of them that slept. Amen. Amen. And so I'll say this. He defeated death. He conquered death, hell, and the grave. Amen. Amen. And so I'll say this. If you're here lost this morning, I wouldn't put it off another day.
Right.
Because just as his word is true, his word said that he would be hanging there between the two thieves. I mean, you look at Isaiah. You read all the prophecy that was fulfilled on Calvary, and you see every detail. I mean, he told us exactly how it was going to be, hundreds of thousands of years before it happened, and some didn't believe, and some still don't believe. But if that came to pass, then why do we think that it's other scriptures that have not been fulfilled yet? Like when he says, "Behold, I come quickly," or when he says in 1 Thessalonians that the Lord himself shall descend from heaven and we shall rise from the dead, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the air. I heard a preacher say this. I'm going to steal it from him. He said, Paul believed that Jesus was coming in his life because he put himself in that. He said, they that are dead shall rise first, but we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Amen. And so if Paul thought he was going to be in his lifetime, that I'll just say this, the rapture, the coming of Christ is very soon. And we should believe that it is in our lifetime. It may not be, but we should live and live as if this may be the last Easter that we have. Amen. This may be the last Sunday that we have to sit in a church and hear the gospel preached to us. Amen. So I'll ask you this morning, as we stand with our heads bowed and eyes closed, I'll ask my dad to come up, and I'll ask Miss Elizabeth to come on the piano. And I'd just like to give a little invitation here this morning. And if you will, just bow your heads and let's pray to the Lord, ask him to deal with the sinners that are here this morning. And us as Christians, I'm burdened about us as Christians. As I said, we get so complacent living our life as if Jesus could do those big things in the Bible, but yet we don't trust him enough in our life. We don't trust him to save our loved ones. We don't trust him enough to ask big things of him. And so I'm not just preaching to the lost this morning. I'm preaching to the saved as well. But if you are lost here this morning, the Bible is true. Amen. And whether you believe it or not does not change the fact that it's true. And the Bible says that this life would be of all men most miserable if we didn't have Christ. Amen. So if you've never met Jesus, you don't truly have life. You don't truly have hope for the future. And you don't truly have your eyes opened to the things of God. Amen. And I'll ask my dad to come. As we pray, let's all pray together. Our Heavenly Father, I thank you for the message, Lord. I thank you for your help. And I thank you, Lord, that you preach through me this morning, Lord. I can't do anything in my flesh. Lord, I pray that you would help now in this invitation. Help us, Lord, not to get in a hurry. Help us, Lord, to do business with you. Lord, I pray, Lord, for every soul that's here this morning. Help us, Lord, that we would search our hearts, search our minds, search our hearts, and ask ourselves the question, have I ever met Jesus? Have my eyes ever been opened? Have I ever trusted him and receive that hope and receive that life, eternal life and abundant life that you give? And Lord, I pray, Lord, as these do business around the altar, Lord, I pray that help would be granted, Lord, today, and that you would get all the honor and all the glory in Jesus' name.